Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Curious Conversations with Tully and Sarah.
We sit down and chat with business owners, entrepreneurs, and some of the best conversation starters.
This is a podcast about real life lessons and people doing cool shit. What's up, Sarah? Happy Wednesday.
Hi, Tella. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
That was very, like, you presumed I was going to say, how are you? Because it was like, bang. I'm good. How are you?
I don't know. Did I?
Yeah.
I don't know. No, I'm good. Thank you. Happy bloody Wednesday. Another Wednesday in lockdown.
And it's sunny. It's beautiful. Let's just focus on the positives.
Well, it should be spring now, shouldn't it? What date is it today? 30th, so by the time this comes out, it will be spring, so probably one of my favourite times of the year.
And we have...
Not one, actually, definitely.
That's good.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, kind of goes well with today's episode because our guest today is probably one of the most energetic...
Positive.
Yes.
Inspiring leaders. No, entrepreneurs, I would say, business owners we've had. I reckon ever.
I learned a lot and I was inspired. I was like, at the end of it, I was like, I feel like I'm going to listen to this and be like, yeah, I'm ready to take on the world again.
Yeah, I was fully engaged in that. No lie, I had really bad period pain at the start of this and I was like, oh my God, I don't know if I can be on. But that went and I was fully engaged and I really, really enjoyed it and I'm actually really looking forward to listening to it again.
And there are several books that Deanna mentions in the episode.
Yes. So they will be in the show notes and I'm also going to go on to Amazon after this. That was not a plug for Amazon. Literally just going to go on Amazon and order them because I feel like I need a bit of a, I don't know, I feel like I need to kick up the ass.
A little bit of zest for life again.
100%. And like I've got books by my bedside table that I've read probably like two chapters of and I just can't get into them. So hoping that one of these, and a few of them were picture books.
Yep.
Which is great. I can buy it and I can hand it down to my sister's twins.
Good idea. All right, well, let's jump straight into this. What do you want to say?
Don't forget to like, subscribe.
And share with all your friends.
And also, just don't forget to be kind. I needed to add that in. There's too much nastiness going on, especially socials at the moment. So don't forget to be kind and tell your friends you love them and your family.
Love you, Tal.
Love you. Love everyone listening. Bye.
I'm doing Mojo Crows.
Oh, are you?
I looked at that. I looked at that and I was like, you know what? I think I might do it, the app thing.
Yeah. When does it start?
It's already on. No, it's on an app.
No, but then you just do it at your own. Yeah, so some days I get into it and I'm like, but
have you found it beneficial?
It's so good.
Wait, but let's talk about this on the podcast.
Okay.
I am recording.
It's recording.
Shifty.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah?
It's when you got to do the life. When you draw your life thing, it's so funny. So I did it first. So Dom and I both doing it. And I did first and it said draw your life and I didn't understand it because I didn't go and read what the exact example of it.
Yeah.
So I drew Bali, beach. That's my life. I put it like that's my life.
That's
right?
Your interpretation.
Yeah. Where I foresee my life to be and if I could do right. So and then he came home one day and he's like, oh, did you do the life thing? I said, yeah, I did. I said, I drew Bali. And then I said, but then when I went to the next question, I sort of didn't, because it said you had to go back to the picture and look at the time. And I'm like, how do I do this? Like with looking at a palm tree and I'm like, this is not right. And he goes, no. And he showed me his and it's like, I'm like, oh, that's deep. I got to do that. I did it. It was the best thing
really
I ever did. So you literally, because you forget things.
Yeah.
And you have to like draw little tabs and then you like it shows the example like he's like draw your school and then how your what were your emotions at school right and then or a kinder so I rang my mom. I'm like, mom, how was I at kinder? Because I remember I cried a lot, but I'm like, and she's like, oh, you're just apprehensive. So I'm like, apprehensive. So I was standing on my shoulder watching me.
Do you not have a memory of kinder at all?
I remember being scared. I remember my photos. I was petrified. And my sister's got these photos of her, like, all, like, nice and I'm, like, my face is red.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So
Like, were you shy?
I was so shy. You have no idea.
I do not see you as being a shy person.
My whole life. Probably not until I was like 24 or 25.
No way.
Yeah. My best friend had to I had this job at a pizza restaurant that I hated, and they treated me so badly. And I'm like, my friend's like, you're not going anymore. I said, I can't even resign. So she rang up for me, pretending she was me, and she resigned for me. This is how I was. My dad used to yell at me. He's like, call for the pizza. I'm like, no, I can't. He goes, what are they going to say? What are they going to say to you? No, sir, I was so bad. Wouldn't answer the phone.
No way.
Mm.
How did you change, and what made you change?
I actually, like, you know when you try and think of moments, and that's why even doing that thing, I'm like, at what point did my life go on a different path?
Yeah, I remember.
I do and I don't. Like, I remember somebody sent me a book once,
mm-hmm.
and I listened to this Mel Robbins book for the 5-second rule. Have you ever
listened? No, I heard it.
That was the beginning of changing my life.
What's the 5-second rule?
It's literally this theory of all our decisions we happen within 5 seconds, right? So, you know, I'm going to go for a run. You got 5 seconds to
decide.
Then you'll start going. So after 5 seconds, you'll start going, I want to watch that show or I really should do the washing. I'll start cooking or spend time with the kids, do something. So you've got 5 seconds to literally count backwards, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and go.
Huh.
Yeah, like a rocket.
Going up, yeah, launching. Launch.
Yeah, like so in the morning, your alarm goes off.
Yes.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, get up. Don't let that, you know, that's don't think about any.
Yeah.
So I read this book. You never heard of Mel Robbins?
No.
Okay.
Is he, well, I thought you made a mistake like the 4-hour Robbins.
No.
Is he like the 4-hour body or the 5-hour working day? No, the 5-hour working
week. Something like that?
Nah. She's literally just about, she's meant to be like a motivational, but she hates when people call her that because she's not that. She's just like.
Mel Robbins,
just trick your mind. But that's probably the one of the pivotal moments of what, I remember reading that book and I read it like, I listened to it actually, and I remember finishing that going, everybody needs to read that book.
Yeah.
And that sort of just started everything for me from there.
Far out.
Like taking everything back, owning it. And that was the first probably realization of I'm the CEO of my life, I'm going to control it, you know, not blaming anyone else for anything, that book.
Yeah.
Are you indecisive at all now?
Yes.
Yeah.
See, had to think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Dom and I both are. So then we'll ponder too much and it'll be like decision. And then I'm like, you know, not making a decision is still making a decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's just decide. So look.
I'm going to use that actually.
Oh, wow. Well,
so on my phone is I decide. Everything is I decide and I it's like a constant reminder. And like this changes a lot. And, you know, I went through parades. I had my kids. I had, you know, bowls, baby, I had something and I'd be like, you know what? I just need that.
I decide.
I decide everything that happens in my life. So even if I'm going to be angry over the situation we're in right now, I decide.
That's so funny because where you say that thing, it's like you chose to do that.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of thing, isn't it? Like I decide, you chose. So go back.
Yeah.
So Dom is your husband.
Wait yes. 1 second.
Yes.
Wait 1 second. Deanna.
Yes.
Can you please introduce yourself?
Sorry.
Okay.
To everyone. I've got to
hear myself then.
Oh.
Isn't it funny when someone says, like,
hard. Yeah. I remember Damien asked me, who are you? I'm thinking, I'm a ma. And then I'm like, this is labels.
They're all, yes.
Like, everything's labels. I'm like, I fundamentally do not know who I am. I'm just this person that's trying to be the best version I can of myself every day. Literally, I decide. But my label of who I am is I'm a mom and I'm a wife and a business owner.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of, all these things wrapped into one. I swap hats all day long and there's no turning off. I know that for sure. And literally, you know, people say I walk through the door and I'm this, but no, it's like I'm the same person all the time. We just, you know, everyone accepts. Yeah, Dom will call me the hurricane. He literally writes me envelopes and that's from the front, hurricane. I'm known for that at work too. And it's just, because I know that I have to do things, like I said, I'm a mum, so that's my biggest role and I know that everything I do cuts into that time and I'm always dealing with that,
you know, how do I balance being a mum and having businesses and wanting it all, and can you have it all and that kind of thing. So it's kind of like I just have to fuse them all into one and be like, I'm everything.
Yeah.
I sort of want everything, so you have to be everything and you have to accept it for what it is. And when I'm away from them, then I'm my kids, then I'm 100 miles an hour. And everyone's like, slow down. So, and I'm like, and I'm getting better at it, but I'm also like, I want to be, if I'm at work, then I'm at work and I'm really present, because then it's taken away from them. And then you got that guilt of, well, I'm away from them, so what am I doing in that time? So I try to be as productive as possible while I'm away, or they come with me and they do everything with me.
Cute. Hey, what are your businesses? You don't just have one business.
No. No, definitely not. So we currently own St. Rose, Number 19, Bowls Baby, People's Coffee, and one that people probably don't even know about is a new one. It's just a catering business called People's Food.
Oh, wow.
That we acquired through COVID. Yeah, so we've just added that one into the mix, which is becoming like a commercial kitchen for us as well. So we're trying to streamline all the Bowls Baby outside of that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So we can scale our business.
Mm-hmm.
So it's providing us with a lot of opportunities. It's also providing us with a bit of anxiety because we are in the situation that we're in at the moment. So the business is still having to pay rent and all these things, and you having to try and think, okay, how does that survive? Because there's no catering.
Yeah.
There's no catering at the moment. So we're just taking it down another avenue and just trying to use the time as much as possible to be like, okay, what can we try? What can we test during this time?
Yeah. So why, obviously, you're in hospitality.
Yes.
So why hospitality?
Why did we end up in hospitality?
Like what was the passion behind? Wait, did you start St. Rose or Number 19 first?
We started Espresso 3121 first.
Okay.
All right. So that was yep, see, this is where the dates.
Yeah. 3121.
Yeah.
Isn't that Richmond?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're in Richmond. Oh.
We're in Richmond. Oh. And it's Lamana and Sons now.
Oh, wow.
Do you know that?
Where that's our like office. Near our office and management was.
Yeah. Wow. Like near Country Road and all that.
Yeah.
So that was our first business.
I did not know that.
Nobody knows that, which is so funny because that's the one that we learnt the most through we literally – so prior to that, we were both in aviation, right?
Okay. A little birdie told me that. I was like, get out of town. Yeah.
So everyone's like freaks out when they find that out. I remember when we bought the business, even the sort of the owner that we bought it off, it was a very established business. Mm-hmm. So when I look back now and reflect, I think we were nuts to take on this business. It did so well. Like the coffee side was already where it needed to be. We had to make sure it stayed there, but we knew that the food offering could grow. Mm-hmm. So there was, I remember having the conversation with the owner that we're buying it off. They're like, why this one? And they said, and he said, is it because of the food side? And we're like, yeah, we've identified some gaps because it was a very good business.
Mm.
Like everything pumps around that area. Mm. Yeah. Like it's just, yeah. So we started there. And we had that for just a year and a half.
Uh-huh.
And then I fell pregnant.
Oh, wow. Oh,
yeah. Which.
So you got rid of it for, sold it?
We sold it.
Yep.
We sold it because I was very much in the business.
Mm-hmm,
so John was on the machine and I was in the kitchen.
Did you know anything about hospitality beforehand?
Well, if you talk about where it all began, I when I was 15 and 14, 9 months, when I could get a job, I had a job and I started at McDonald's, right? So I still bang on about McDonald's today, even to all the staff. They probably think, here we go, here's the McDonald's story, you know, it just comes out. But I learned everything that I know pretty much back then. I think that all the fundamentals of I think managing, because I became a manager there. So I was 14 and 9 months, but then I was there till I was like 18 or 19. I was like one of the youngest managers. And
that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. but it does in a way if you look back and be like me as a kid.
Personality-wise.
Oh, yeah, being shy and like very withdrawn.
My parents will still say today even, oh, God, she was the one we worried about. We worried about her. We worried about her the whole time, like, you know, as I was very reserved.
What is it about McDonald's? Because my dream is hospitality. Like, I'd love to own a cafe at some stage. I think
we've had this conversation.
What is it about McDonald's that teaches you the what structures are there?
I think I just learnt about, like, fast-paced environment, like, literally using your whole brain for everything, like, you know, being a manager, then I went and learnt the back and the kitchen, you know, you start with your on the fries and then you move. And I think now looking back, especially at Bowls Babies model, it's like, wow, I learnt all that.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Like sometimes I'll say to them, oh, yeah, because I did that at McDonald's. And he's like, you want to bring that to the table now? Like, you know, and I'm like, oh, I just, forgot. You know, I forgot. Yeah. I literally forgot, but I learnt so much back then that has – yeah, it's funny how your life just leads you down a path and it'd be like it's just a circle. And then I learned that then and now I'm bringing it to this business. And, yeah, so I think McDonald's taught me so much. Every job I've had, there's a piece of me in hospitality. I just think, you know, hospitality is not so much like we didn't have any – oh, Dom worked at a restaurant too. I shouldn't – like he came from hospitality in that sense. So he was aircraft engineer, right? And then, but he worked at his brother had a restaurant in Lower Templestowe, and he ran that for him, as in he did the nights that he was not at work.
Oh wow!
So we've come from food, but we sort of just made our own, put our spin on it. But we always talked about it, like we used to always go to like really cool cafes and be like, I'd love to do this one day. We'd love to do it. And we'd just throw it around, But I remember when we both, because the plan was he was going to resign, and I know I'm jumping everywhere, but we both ended up at Virgin, and he was going to resign, and then I was going to come after. So I was doing part-time at that by then.
Yep.
So I'm like, all right, so I'll go part-time, and then after part-time, then I'll come in, you know, bit of security, financial security. Everyone was freaking out. Both got good jobs and now you're just going to leave it to do, you know. And I remember the day that we were doing a inspection of it. It was just before our trial started and he's like, you need to resign. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, we have to do it together. He goes, there's no way that I can do this by myself. He goes, if we're really going to give this a crack, we're going to have to do it together. We're just going to have to put everything on the line. And just literally, I'm like, are you sure this is the right thing to do? Like, if we both leave, it's like at the end of the day, you're only part-time anyway. I wasn't bringing in ridiculous amounts of money. It was just some security. I think we did it more for our families too, because they'd be like freaking out.
Yeah. You and Dom.
Yeah.
Married, been together, what, since you were 16?
Yep, 15.
15. 15. Now running these several businesses together. People think Tal and I are crazy being best friends working together. How is it literally being married and working together?
So my parents work together too and I remember my mum say, don't ever work with your husband. It's, you know, and I said to mum, I've done exactly what you've told me not to. But I think it depends. I think, you know, when you're in a relationship for so long, you either grow together or you grow apart. There's no, you know what I mean? And there's people that you do speak to and they're like, there's no way that I could work with my husband. But I actually feel the other way. There's no way that I can't. I wouldn't be able to work without him.
Yeah.
It's strange because, you know, we're not always in the same place at the same time. Yeah. It's very rare for us to be together. We may start off in the morning at home and have a quick discussion. Then we'll separate. Then we'll come back together. Like,
the roles are very different and defined.
Yeah. They're very, very different. And, you know, we got this thing, our group of people in places, like Dom does one role, I do another. And we don't, and we sort of just trust each other to be like, all right, well, that's my role. So I make that final decision there. Mm. Yes, we discuss it and we say, well, what's the pros, what's the cons, or whatever. But ultimately, we just trust each other to make the right decision to be like, well, you know, he'll just say, well, that's your area. So whatever you say.
I think running a business, you need to be like that. Sarah and I are like that. It's like I know Sarah's roles, I know my role.
Yeah, you
have to. And then you talk together. But otherwise, I feel like that's where businesses fail, especially with relationships, husband, wife, or friends. I feel like when you get too much into their space, role kind of thing, is when things fuck up. Don't you reckon?
Yeah.
100%.
Like, stay in your lane.
Yeah, 100%.
Exactly. Like I say, stay in, and I hate that saying in a way, but I.
No,
do you know what I mean? Like stay in your lane, but then you're like, but the lane can be really wide. You know what I mean? And I need to overlap at some point, but ultimately, I know my strengths. I know what I'm good at. And that's why we also, play to our team as well.
Yeah.
Like I always say to them, I'm not perfect. I'm not the perfect leader. What can you bring to the table here, and what do you want to bring to the table? Yeah, what are you interested in? What can you learn? What do you want to know more?
Mm.
Do you want to do a course? And that, you know, because most of the time they come to me like, oh, I love doing that. I'm like, I hate doing that.
Yeah,
I hate doing that. Anything that kills creativity, because I'm more the ideas person. Yeah. If I have to sit there and do, and I know it has to be done, but like the paperwork and the bookwork. I'm dead.
Yeah.
You've actually killed my vibe and I can't continue. I can't actually now pivot and create and do all these things because I just, it doesn't serve me. Yeah. As I was saying before, that my mum does a lot of our paperwork too, but she loves it. She loves nutting out and being like, oh, look at that. Why is there so much leakage here? And that brings her joy. So I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, that's good. We're all sticking to our roles.
Mm.
I think and we fight. Our marriage isn't perfect. That's for sure. But I think that's what makes it so good because we're like always like, well, we're not perfect and we're going to fight. And you know that you're going to fight. You're going to disagree, but ultimately, we've both got the best. We want the best for the business, so we always put that first too. Yeah.
I see you as an amazing, inspiring leader, like within your businesses. Mm. What would be like one tip, or let's say three tips, because a lot of business owners will listen to this podcast. Three tips for being a great leader, because you've spoken about your staff and
I want you as my boss.
Yeah, 100%. Like I find you so inspiring, and your leadership's amazing. So if someone was listening and may want to work on their leadership skills, what would three tips be that you would give them?
I think, thank you. First and foremost, because I feel like you can't call yourself a leader. I think that somebody else has to tell you that you're a leader because it's like self-proclaimed.
Yeah.
Amazing. But, you know, I think that people that are in leadership positions should just show up as the person that they – like I've had that bad manager. Yeah, I'm sure we've all been in that situation. Like I said before, you know, the very first job I had, I hated it. Like I got treated like shit. Mm-hmm. And I just think – I know it sounds simple, but it's just like just treat people how you would want to be treated. Or where was the boss or that person that sort of put me on that path? Like to be like, oh, yeah, okay, that's good. Or where's the constructive criticism? Like I'm very driven, right? So I'm always going to be that person that if you tell me, okay, this is the harder road, this is the – you'll still get there. It'll be quicker. It'll be easier. I'll still want to take the hard road. Yeah. I don't know why that I'm wired like that because it makes me upset sometimes because I think like – you've just gone all the way, but I think it's a bit like life. You have to take the road. Like there's no shortcuts to anything. You have to – we had to have – you know, there's been many failures on the journey. But I think I'm grateful for all of them now, especially when I look back and I'm, you know, doing this work with – and I'm thinking, oh, God, I needed that. I needed that at that point. I needed to feel like crap there and I needed that to fail here. And I just think that you just go with it but be ultimately like – to be a good leader, I feel like you need to be the leader that you needed and reflect on your past to be like, you know, I wish someone showed up for me then. Mm-hmm. But we also trust our people a lot. You can't be everything to everyone. Everyone's like, oh, you know, that business does well, because the owner's in it. And, yes, it's never going to be run exactly. You're always going to go that extra mile. But you also have to trust the people and trust the – we always say you can never give too much either, yeah?
Yeah.
If there's a point that you know that it's going to be a bad transaction, recover it. Mm-hmm. Recover it. Do whatever it takes to recover it, yeah, because we would. If Dom and I were standing in that business and you had walked into the cafe and we were there and you were going to leave unhappy, there's no way you'd be paying. You'd be getting something to take with you. You know, like we would use that as an opportunity to
get them back.
Yeah. Because they're leaving anyway. They're going to talk shit about you. They're going to say how you know what I mean? And I feel like that's been part of our success, that our staff feel empowered to do that too.
We'd
never walk in and be like, did you just give away free coffee? Like, it'd be like,
there'll be a reason why they did that.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually get angry if somebody comes in, like the other day, somebody came in and ordered a baby chino for their son and regular. And I was sitting there doing something at the back and then I'm like, oh, please don't charge them, right? Because he goes, we'll come back later to get our coffee. And I'm like, please. And she said it, right? And yeah. then she's like, yeah, that's on us, right? And I love that she had the confidence. I was standing there to do it.
Because I love that.
We would have done that.
Yeah.
We would 100% done that. That's $1.
Yeah.
But what he was like, thank you so much. You guys are the best. And I'm thinking, all it takes is that. All it takes is, and I'm just like, that's everything to me. More so than his reaction to it was that she had the, like, she felt empowered to do it.
Yeah.
Did you go up and say anything to her post that after hearing?
I'm quite loud in the cabin at OC. This is, and I'm like, did you hear that, everyone? Like, you know, and they'll be like, nah. And then that's just what she goes. I know you would have done that. I said, 100% we would have done that.
That your staff are like that. Yeah.
I'm like, 100%. Like, we sort of cheer that on. Yeah. Like, there's a difference between taking the piss out of something and all my mates come in and I'll give you everything.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, all our staff know, even we would, if they said to us, we need, oh, do you mind if I take all this food home tonight because I got no food and I'm 100% they would, they pretty much can have anything that they want. Yeah. We want to look after our, and I hope that we do, we look after our staff like, you know, I know it's a bit cliche to say family, but it essentially it does. Like it's like.
You all can't operate without one another.
I think it's, we've become a village.
Yeah.
Yeah, like.
I'm you're like a little community. Like even when you go into St. Rose, which is one of your cafes, it's like you walk in and automatically you feel welcomed, warm, and I can't even describe it. You do feel like you're part of a community.
Yeah.
And it's the area that you're in as well, but it's what you've established. And don't you reckon you feel like that? Like every single time. And it's not one of those places where it's just once. Like, you know, you go somewhere and you're like, it's consistent. And I think that's like kudos to you guys because you've created that consistency and that like warmth.
There's a welcome and a genuine you're seen, you're heard, you're cared about when you walk
heard.
In.
Yeah.
I think like if you, when you start with us, you get a handbook and it's got our values in it and like for us it's like the most important thing.
Mm.
If you come, you come and you leave as a better version of yourself, as in if you go to leave to be with another hospitality group, we've failed you.
Mm.
Yeah? Yeah. Like we literally look at it like that, like because why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not good enough. That means we didn't give them enough growth, especially if you've gone to do another hospitality venture. Then, because, you know, let's be real, not everyone thinks of it as a career, but we try and make it like that to be like our group's going somewhere. Yeah. Yeah. So
evolve
and get on the train because we're, you know, you want to do that. Like, you know, people that have left us to go, you know, do HR roles and things like that, you know, they say, they to leave, it's like it's such a big deal and they cry and then I'll be like, you come back when we're bigger, you'll be back, you're gonna go on your journey and you're gonna come back and you're gonna be, because we're gonna need that, we're gonna need that, you know, it's so nice.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people that do leave, if they have leave, they've come back and it's not, and I don't look at it and be like, oh, that's my ego so good, see, because you think the grass is greener. You know what, they need to leave. Right. If people come to us and say, look, I'm not feeling it, I'm like, you need to do what's right for you. I'm gonna do what's right for us. Yes, we look at the bigger picture and we look at all our staff and be like, okay, well, they deserve that, you know. We've grown, we've probably never been ready to take the next step, but we've just taken it because it'll be like, they're gonna leave us, they're gonna leave us, they're gonna leave us. Too good to leave.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Mm.
Keep going, keep going, keep going. Because, you just, we always got this thing, made for more, made for more. We're all made for more. Everyone that comes and joins us, they're all, you know, got something to bring to the table. And if we do well, they do well, you know, and we just all go up together. I'm like, you know, you grow, you bring someone up.
Yeah. And you guys have grown so much, especially probably like the last 5-6 years. Mm. Do you have someone mentoring you through that growth? Because each stage you wouldn't have a clue what you're doing because it's a brand new step.
Yeah. No.
Because that's what scares me with us. We're at the next phase and we've said it, like I've said it to Tyler, like, oh, God, like the next phase, what do we're both like, what does it look like? What do we do? Yeah. Like, okay, we know we have to do it.
Yeah. And you sort of need you need that, right? Because I always say, what got you here is not going to get you to the next stage. Yeah, like me at Espresso compared to me now is completely different. Mm. We're dealing with a completely different ball game. Before it was owner operator, we're both in there, we're both pumping out exactly. We knew what we were doing. Now it's like creating systems and be like, how do you not be there but be there? Yeah, like so. If you say that we have a mentor, we've got a business partner with us. Bowls Baby and People's Coffee, and he was in it with us at Espresso, and he's a huge part of the reason why we are. He's the biggest one. I take a step up, you take a step up with me, I pull you up with us, yeah? So we look to him a lot. We do lots of I think you have to keep growing. You have to I think I listen to so much now because I feel like I owe it to the all the staff.
Yeah.
I'm like, I have to keep going because then, you know, it's no different to now showing up. Like there's days, of course, I don't want to go. I don't want to hear the word pivot anymore. I don't want to hear anything, but I have to. It's a reality. Reality is that when, especially when COVID came, it was like, well, we have no other option but to keep going, right? Yeah. There was other, it was so much more. Like I say, we're a village, yeah? So it was like Dom and I knew that we'd have to take the hit. We'll take the hit in order for this to keep going, yeah? So there's people that are, their whole, they've got families as well. There's people that work with us that have kids. I'm like, look, how do we just shut the door and walk away and be like, no, we have to, we have to keep thinking, keep evolving, keep, you know, and when you feel like you can't, you just
got to find a way. You find a way.
Yeah, COVID's obviously hit hard in the hospitality sector.
Yeah,
how like has you don't have to go into today, but how has it affected you guys?
Look, I think anyone that's in the suburbs has been, it's been an opportunity to take on a different, I don't know, different avenues and look at your business and keep going because obviously everyone's gone home and that's to the suburbs pretty much. The cities affected us a lot and we were, you know, we opened through COVID. We've opened through COVID. We've closed through COVID. We've now remained open. Like it just, it is what it is.
This is your CBD
store. CBD this is the People's Coffee and Bowles Baby.
Collins Street. But we just, it's, there's so much effort in closing. It is so hard. People think it's, oh, just close the doors and it's, there's just as much effort in closing than what it is to stay open. Yeah. So we feel like staying open, we're helping people that work for us as well, that their mental health is, you know, looked after as well. They're still around people. They're still contributing. They get to see all.
They have a purpose every day still. Yeah,
which is what you need during lockdown
and COVID. Or they've still got to think, because we'll be like, all right, so what ideas can we bring to the table? But, yeah, I'd be lying if I said that the city hasn't really hurt us. It has hurt us, but it's now also like especially taking on the commercial kitchen, it's like, okay, so catering's non-existent. So how do we utilize that facility now to keep growing, right? Because really in times like this, this is where you can get ahead.
Yeah.
So this is now what we've looked at, you know, producing product to going to supermarkets and, you know, it's recession-proof, right, and it keeps going. And then, yes, then it's – I almost want to feel like the catering will be a cream, but that's a production kitchen at the moment. It's testing. We've recently taken on a new person that's incredible, that we're really exciting, but also very scary because you're like, well, that's another wage of just adding somebody else in that there's not as much to play around with. So – but you sort of just have to – always look beyond and always be like, okay, this is just now. This is the now and it's not going to be like this forever. This too shall pass. Let's keep going.
Yeah. With the city stores, like Bowles Baby, obviously still doing Uber Eats and stuff. Like if someone's listening, how can they support you guys?
We're on all the platforms, DoorDash, Uber Eats, everything. We've got our own app as well and we're sort of just trying to develop that now, take that a bit further.
Yeah.
But – yeah, it's
and you do home meals too.
Home meals through the cafes.
Yeah,
yep. So we started that in the first lockdown, the world tour.
Yeah,
And they've been really popular. I mean, they were good then, but they're
everyone's sick of cooking at home.
Yeah,
I am.
Yeah, but I think word got out in the first one of that they were not because I'm biased, but they're very good. Yeah, like
no, they look amazing.
They are very very good. We've got.
I sent Tal the French one the other week.
It looks so good. Yeah, it's and I think that people once they get it, they just don't expect it to be like
so good.
Because we're a cafe.
Yeah.
Essentially we're a little cafe, but this is restaurant quality food that we're putting out because the team that's doing it, they're ex-Humulus staff, right?
Oh, wow.
So the food is like
– amazing.
Amazing. Amazing. And the talent of these people, and I'm just like – yeah, I love working with them because obviously, well, not obviously, but I do the food side. So Dom does more the coffee and I work with the team, the kitchen teams.
I essentially work around all of them, but I work a lot with the kitchen team. And I love pushing them to their limits. Like we're about to do the Philippines and they're both Filipino. They both didn't want to do it because it's too close to home. And they've it's not even released yet. And I've had it all. It was amazing.
How do people order this? Just through Instagram?
This is all through Instagram. We are in the process of setting up our electronics e-stores now. So, this is the thing. This is the time to move everything.
When do you have time for yourself? My brain is like.
But honestly, when do you?
I get up at.
I was going to say you get up early.
Yeah, in saying this, pre-lockdowns, we used to see you.
5:15
boxing classes.
4:45, that's my alarm. I don't even need an alarm, to be completely honest. I just wake up at that time and just wire that time. Even now through lockdowns, I'm walking and just it's have to keep going because the thing is once I break my routine, that's what kills me. I think that's everybody, but like I'm such a creature of like that's that time. That's where like – you know, all your energy, like I always come home and Dom's like, he knows in that minute he's got to just
shut up.
Well, he shuts up, but he always goes, I feel sorry for you that you have to deal with me in the morning after because I've got so much energy when I come home, or especially if I've been for a walk or something and I'll be like, I've just realized this and this is, and I've just connected why we did this at this point. And he's just like sits there and listens to me. Everything goes, he goes, I love when you come home because it's like, here we go. I know she's going to walk in and she's just going to be like radiating and just inspired. All this. I'm on. I'm on. I'm a morning person.
Yeah.
I'm in bed 9 o'clock. See you later.
Yeah.
See you later. Mm. Thank you for coming. I put my kids to bed and I go to bed and I get up in the morning and I go. But it's funny because I say the same thing every time I open the door. I sing, you know, hello darkness. But I'm like, there's something about the morning dark.
I agree. Right? I love the mornings.
Yeah. And I say, and it's like I sing to it every morning, but like, yeah, this is it. This is, I come alive.
When there's no one else around and it's just you and your thoughts. And I think that's when the best things happen.
I actually like everything you were just saying, like when I become a parent and a mom, like I think I've said this to you or someone. Like that's what I want my life to be. Like I feel like I'd thrive on the busyness and like I still want to be a working mom. I still want to have all that balance. And hearing that, I'm like, oh my God, that's what I want. Like literally. Yeah.
But even the kids know that I'm a better person. I'm like, I need to do that.
100%.
I get up before and they know now, like when I come home, they're like, oh, what are you like? I've always got a story to say because we've got these particular things in, like, I walk around the Queen's Park and it's got this garden in it. And so now the kids know about this garden because it's a roped off garden. And I always say, that's your mind.
Oh,
yeah. So every time now they walk past and they'll be like, there's no weeds in it. Yeah. Because sometimes weeds pop up. It's a roped off garden. It's all stones. And it says, please keep off the garden. Right. And I say to the kids, that's your mind. Yeah, I said, you got to protect it at all times. When the weed comes up, it's going to come up. It's inevitable it's going to come up. You got to pull it out.
Oh, my God, so, I love that.
So now every time we pass the garden, every single time they look at it and they go, look how clean it is, Mum. They've weeded it out because we talk about, you know, the voice in your head and things like that, that person that was always there and you're never going to get rid of them, and that's a weed, right, the one that is – bad.
Yeah.
I don't like using good or bad either. It's like it's there's no good, there's no bad, there's no right, there's no wrong. Yeah. It just is.
Yeah.
Right? And I that's why my mom's like, they don't even understand. I said, they do understand. They understand. Mm. And and you know, we all parent differently. And I know that sometimes I'm probably too much, but my kids are like
Are good kids.
They're responding to it. Yeah. They're like really they'll respond kids. Or they'll call me out on it. Mm. They'll call me out on it. They'll
your
be
own
like
kids.
Yeah. They'll I love call that. Me like, Mom, don't put that to the universe. Don't create that. Don't. And I'm like, okay, yep. That's because I taught you that.
So yeah. How did you get into all of that first, though?
When you speak about mentoring as well, I do see a life coach as well in Queensland who she also changed my life. There you go.
Yeah.
Went for personal, other complete, and to learn how to manage working with my husband and being a mom. And I actually met her prior to that. We were just newly married when we went and we did this. My sister-in-law she's like, you really need to speak to this lady in Queensland. you will be powerful. And I never understood what she meant. Mm. And I'm always like, what do you mean we'll be powerful?
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I never actually said that, but I said, what does she mean that we'll be powerful? Does she mean like we could take over the world powerful? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I remember after a few sessions with her, I remember saying to Dom, I know what she means now. I know exactly what she means, as really? In this inner power.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's probably one of the reasons why I can work with – that we can work with each other.
She's taught you like the balance or just the
fundamentals. Yeah, so we both have sessions like
– I love that.
Yeah, and we've done power sessions together.
Yeah.
Right, because there's always going to be something, always something going to come up. And I – you know both of us, so I'm quite loud and, you know, well, I am now.
Mm.
And Dom can be very – laid back, reserved, and yeah, he's very chilled. He just takes, Dom likes listening and observing and taking it all in. But we learn how to, I don't know, to bring out the best, you know, we talk about front covers, back covers and all these things, and we just brought out the best. I think it was the best thing that we ever do. And we still, like I had a Skype session with her the other day. She still uses Skype as well, but she's old school, but she just, yeah, our last session actually, she talked to me about this, about a peacock, and I'm like, oh, a peacock. She's like, oh, I've never thought of it like that. She goes, where's your inner peacock? And I'm like, she goes, well, a peacock shows up, right, and it's there in all its glory and it spreads its feathers out and it doesn't care who's looking at it. Huh. It's like, and I'm like, oh, I didn't think of it like
yeah,
I didn't
yeah.
really think about it. He's like, it's like it doesn't dim down for anyone. It doesn't, it just shines, and whether people are saying things about it or not, it still just stands there and radiates with all its glory. And I was like, that is amazing. I remember getting off that phone call and telling Dom about, you know, the peacock and this, and looking up, meditation, peacock. There's so many peacock meditations.
Yeah.
I was like, so now I'm like, that's going to be my – that's my spirit guide. Yeah. It's the peacock. So if you see a peacock –
I did, there's one in my hometown.
There you go.
Yeah. See? It goes on people's roofs.
Well, now I'm just looking at it.
Does it?
Yeah.
Our peacock's big.
But no, see, it doesn't care. And that's what she goes, you don't know about the peacock? And I'm like, well, I know the peacock. But yeah. She's like, but have you ever seen an ugly peacock? It's just like there. It's
beautiful.
All its colours and all its glory. No one will ever take that away from it.
I'm going to Google.
And the peacocks. Way it walks around. Yeah, so I'm like, the peacock. So she told me.
I love that.
So I think, yeah, see, it's funny. When you look back on your life, you think, oh, well, there's nothing I did that's really that special. But I did. I've done the work. I do the work. I constantly do the work.
And you were even saying that at the start, doing Crowie's new thing.
Yeah.
You're never going to stop doing the work.
You always have to evolve.
I feel like you're never going to – everyone's like, oh, so when will you – when's enough enough? And it's like,
hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I can't. It's never enough.
Yeah.
And I sort of just realized that it's never enough, but I just think that you never arrive. Mm-hmm. You never arrive. It's always, okay, I reached that level. Now I can go to the next level.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like that stepping stone, no different to what I was saying before, how you can't avoid it. You have to take that road, right?
Yeah.
You have to. It's just, you kind of think, and there's also a book that I bought for the kids, but I think that even adults need it. And it's like, where does the road lead? It's this American author that wrote this book, and it's by Cleo Wade. Look it up, Where the Road Leads, and it's a picture book. It's got the most incredible lessons in it, and it's like, where does the road lead? And it says, we'll be a leader and find out. And we literally say that in our family, yeah, like if, especially Zari, you know, I say they call me out and they'll be like, be the leader and find out, yeah? Like, oh, wow. What is that? Well, we'll find out. Google it or do, you know,
isn't
what I mean?
Like, funny?
Just and it literally tells you about your journey. And then when it, you know, what do you do when it rains and you feel lost? And it'll be like, well, I'm here, but just you have to weather the wind and you weather the storm and then you keep going, like, you know, and I'm here. And what do you do when you fall over? You keep going. There's a page and it just says that, keep going. And I'm like, even I talk about it and I get my hairs up because I'm just like, oh my God,
it reminds me of,
like, it's just life.
My favorite book, and I've told you numerous times, the Zeus one about the journey of life. And I can't remember the title of it, but it's like
I think you've
told all the places
that.
You'll go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny? You were just saying what was it? Be the leader.
Be a leader and find out.
Be a leader and find out. And don't you think that's so funny that you're saying that now, but when you were younger, you couldn't even call up to ask for pizza, like be the leader and find out. But you weren't doing that.
But I think that's
so funny that that's now your.
But all these books, and it'll be like, it's like I needed to be that kid.
Yeah.
I 100% needed to be that kid. And I've had those kids.
Yeah.
And I've got those kids, right? But I feel like that where they are, especially in their mindset, is so much further along than what I 100%. Was. Like I had to go on my own journey and I want them to go on their own journey. But at the same time, I feel like I had to live that life.
Mm.
And there, and I talk I about this right. and I've said this to even to some of the staff. I'm like, we're the bridge. Mm-hmm. We're the bridge generation. Yeah. Like, you know, a lot of us that are my age that have come, you know, from parents that are like, you know, that have done it tough and they've paved the way for us and all this stuff. And we're the generation that's, you know, we're a very unique generation. We've seen a lot. We you know, like Zara will go, Mum, were you alive when black and white too? And I'm like, yeah, I was. I'm like, does that sounds like I'm really old, but I'm not really that old. But we're that gap, that old that, you know, that we like even my mother-in-law would be like, don't throw that out. That's like that scarcity, mindset of, you know, because that's what she had.
Mm. Yeah.
She couldn't throw anything out because you're crazy. You can't throw that out. Mm. That's you got to save everything. And like I'm the worst. I throw everything
out. So do I.
And I sometimes think, oh God, you know. But we're the bridge. I'm literally the bridge for my children to be like, well, they're going to lead a better life in a way. But because we're going to be a bit more, well, you got to fall over. You got to stand up. Mm. Whereas, you know, I'm European, and it was always been like, don't do that. You're going to fall. Don't do this. Yeah. Like, you know. I haven't taught my kids like that. You know, I don't move knives or anything away from them. I remember when they were little, I used to push the knife against their finger and be like, sharp, sharp, sharp. That's sharp because I can't be there every
all the
step.
Time.
Yeah. Mm. There's going to be a knife in your way at some point and you're going to pick it up, right? So what do you do with it? Like, and I just feel like that's how I've always been now. I actually don't know how I've become like that.
Yeah.
But, that's where I just like, going back to leadership, it's no different to being a parent too, right? Yeah. I was like, I'm that person that I wish I had. And now, not that I had a bad childhood, but it's also like, well, would I be further along?
Yeah.
Like I was 24, 25 when I really thought, okay, that was the start. If I want to talk about when I first, like when I read that book and all that, I was much older. I was in my 30s.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I had Zara when I was 29 and it was after, well and truly after that. So, and I just feel like, oh, my God, I often think, well, I wonder where I would be now at this age if I would have started earlier. But that's life.
That's your journey. Everything
happens. And it's just I am where I'm meant to be.
Mm.
So
yeah.
I feel like there is people will be like, oh, you know, my brain's fried just listening. I get it all the time, right? And I feel like I haven't even scratched the surface of where the potential of where we want to go or what we want to do. But, you just have to keep showing up. Plus, you don't know what your competitors are doing, and I don't look at anything like that. I look at it, there's room for everybody. There's room for everyone. That's always, you want to know something? Come and ask me. I'll tell you whatever you want to know because I feel like just because you're going to succeed doesn't mean that I'm not going to succeed. We're all going to succeed.
That's one rule in our business. Yeah. It's like people are like, why don't you do these pants like PE Nation? Yeah. It's like, no. We don't look at competitors and see what they're doing now. We're like, nope, we're on our own.
We never wish competitors fail or anything. 100%.
It's like you're in your own lane. Yeah. You do what you do and let everyone else do what they do. Because the moment that you start doing what your competitors are doing because you feel like you have to is when you fail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like competitors really, they only bring out your vulnerabilities 100%. As well. I'd be like, well, you know, if I had to compare myself to something next door or whatever, but they do that really well.
Yeah.
They deserve that.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
They freaking do that well. Yeah. So they deserve to be like that and they deserve – we only are judging and we'll say, oh, they've done that, they've copied that, and it'll be like because of our own.
Yeah, we did it. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, like it's, you know, so I think it's nuts that people don't want to, you know, I don't have any secrets to be like, we've both sat down with people with other cafes and be like, oh, how do you start? And be like, you need to do this is the plan, right?
Mm.
And you got to be, you know, and I'm kind of like give you the harsh truth as well because I feel like, well,
I want to be like, you heard it here first. I never lied to you. I never said this is going to be easy. It's going to be really hard. It's going to be so challenging. But if you want it, then nothing can stop you. You know, I just recently spoke to my friend. She's doing something interstate and she's like, I think about you all the time thinking, nah, she did it. I can do it, you know, and I'd be like, but when your back's against the wall, you break the wall, right?
Mm. Yeah.
There's no other option. It's not going to – it's yes, when we started our business, we thought, what if this fails? But we're like, we're not going to let it fail.
Yeah.
Mm. Come. It's the best. No, it's not an option.
Yeah. It's not going to fail. Mm. It's not going to fail because we're not going to let it fail.
Yeah.
We'll do everything at the end of the day, I remember thinking and we had this discussion to be like, we've got family, we've got friends. Even if we had to sell everything, we've got each other, we've got our health, we'd have to move in with your parents. And I think when you go into business, you sort of have to be willing to lose everything. 100%. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? If you need to move back in with your parents, move back in with your parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, not a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're getting meals cooked. I think
the ego gets in the way, though. That's the only thing. And then when the people that buy
not even ego. I think it's what you think other people will say or say.
Yeah, 100%.
Other people's opinions.
Yeah,
that's when you be the peacock and you don't give a shit what other people think.
And I'll be completely transparent. I was having a conversation because something that happened affected me. And then she's like, "How can you let that affect you?" She goes, and I felt like, in this particular moment that I was being judged and she's like, but you were judging right back. And I was because I was thinking, oh, well, yeah, of course they're going to think like that because that's the type of it. But, and she called me out on it and I love her because she just, she'll like actually call me out. We'll be like, yeah, but that's what, look at yourself now.
Yeah. That's what people say. If you see something in someone that you don't like, it's often a mirror.
Yeah. We're literally just talking about that before about something.
Yeah.
100%.
So yeah. And I was like, oh, my goodness, that is so true.
Yeah.
There seems to be a common theme with everyone we're chatting to this season, and it started with my mum giving us all therapy. And it's even here I'm like, wow, you really know yourself so well, and I think that is the key.
To success and stuff like that. And
to success and to
happiness.
Like, yeah, just a content and joyful life.
Yeah.
It's like, you know why you're a good leader. You know you're a good mother. You know all this because you've done that hard work to get to know yourself.
You're constantly working on yourself.
Yeah, I just feel like you're happy.
And
Damien asked me in this, my podcast, too, what do you know you're good at? I said, I know I'm a good mom. I know I'm a good mom, 100%, more so than a leader, more so than in business, which I just – because I feel like I can see the way the kids have responded. And like you said, the proof's in the pudding. I walk in, people always go, your kids –
They're so good.
Yeah. They're so good, but it's not by chance. Mm. Yeah, like it's really not. Like we
– you got to put in the time and effort into that too. Yeah,
and I'm 100% not the most perfect mom by any means, but they know that.
Mm.
Yeah. They know that I'm flawed. Yeah, like they – if I make a mistake, I make a point of telling him, see, even I make mistakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially Chris. He is like next level of perfectionism. And then if one thing, he'll scrunch it up. And I think Zara went through a stage of that too. But it's kind of like, and then I had to get another book and it was called Beautiful Oops. And they literally, another book that everybody needs. I remember every mistake in the book, they turn it into something else. So every mistake is an opportunity to create greatness.
Ah.
Yeah, so like there's a coffee spill and then it's an elephant. Yeah, like it's the nose of an elephant and all this. Yeah, and every page is a mistake.
Not only does every business owner need that, I think everyone needs it for life.
Yeah. But it's like a life lesson. Like all these kids' books, all these Disney movies, right?
Messages.
I was like, so this morning, so I'm listening to Untethered Soul at the moment.
Mm-hmm. What's right?
That? A book. Because I listen to all the books. Yeah. No time to read. So, and I'm only an hour and a half in, but I was like having those moments of, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Anyway, he talked about how you just have to, it's about your voices in your heads, right? Yeah. So Untethered Soul, I think it's a book that you probably should read every, like The Road Less Traveled and things like that, right? It's on that sort of par with that. And he just said, you need to let it go. Like you need to understand that the voice, you'll have a constant conversation in your mind. Yeah, it'll just keep rolling over to be like, oh, I really should do this. Oh, but don't do that. That you did that already and you know it didn't. And he goes, and it's that conversation of each other. And then he just said, let it go, right? And I said to Dom, I came home and I go, and he goes, what are you doing? And I had to put Disney's Let It Go. And I go, I need to listen to the words of this song for a second. And I said, and if you literally Google that, the words to this song, I'm like never going to
meaning.
And I'm like, really? this is life. Disney has got it.
Yeah, Disney's
right?
amazing.
Disney have it. Like, these kids need to, like think about it, right? She's becoming who she's meant to be.
Mm.
Yeah? Yeah. Like, she's been told to be this person, you know, cover up your powers and all this stuff. And she's saying, let it go. Like, and I know that probably superficially I knew that.
She's having a peacock moment.
But it's like, I listened to this part of the Unto the Soul and I went straight to Frozen. I'm like, and I go, and I was dancing around my house and the kids were behind me go, let it go, let it go. And I'm like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
This is actually empowering.
Yeah.
Like your everyday life, these things that are just, yeah. And this is where the energy comes in the morning. Yeah. Like, here we go. This is what we're on. But then Dom gets into it as well. And then
I love that.
Read that line. And I'm like, yeah, like this is where we're at.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
it's so true.
Yeah.
Like everything leads us back to being our true authentic self.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like just be who you're meant to be.
Yeah.
And worry about being judged and being about, you know, like, of course, we all still worry about it and we all still want that. Yes, you made a difference to my day. And, like, I'd like to say that if I put a post and then, you know, someone says to me, I needed to read that, that doesn't make me feel good, right? Mm. Sometimes I think, don't let it validate you. Mm. I'll actually have that conversation.
Yeah.
Don't let it validate you. Yeah. And I'll be like, don't let it validate you. It is what it is. It just is. It just is, yeah?
Yeah.
But you can't help it. You feel good that you've contributed to someone and, yeah, like.
Yeah.
You do great motivational quotes.
I was going to say, I reckon we should finish up the podcast yeah. and tell us, because you do every morning, you post like a quote.
And, yes. and people should go check out your Instagram yeah. page because you do this little pointy thing.
Yeah, my points.
It's the best. What would be like your current, I mean, it doesn't have to be favorite quote, but like current quote that you're kind of living by, because we are currently obviously in lockdown.
Yeah. Look, I think that every quote that I put up, it's seriously, everyone's like, I need to read that. I'm like, because I needed to read that.
Yeah.
Everything I put up is because I'll be like, I need to confirm with myself to be like
that.
That.
Yeah.
That exact. And it's literally like a point because it's like, there's so much energy in that point
yeah.
to be like, this is what I need to hear. So if one person gets it and one person feels moved by that and be like, yes, lean into that, mm. lean into that. And I think I put one recently about like that whatever follows I am
mm-hmm.
is what I become. Like, you know what I mean? Like
yeah,
how we say, you know, I am worthy, I am, and I'm like, there's so much power in that. Yeah, like, because if you say, I am stupid, well, then
you're going to believe
stupid.
That.
Yeah, you're like, that's where you end up, like, instead of, like, you know, change your story, change what you're saying to yourself. Like, I am enough. I am not perfect, and I just do my best that I can to my knowledge in that moment. And then, you know, the next day, I hopefully wake up a better version and just, you know, learn something else, put it out there as well. Mm. I'm big believer that, you know, clap for other people while, you know, if they're doing well, that like it's not going to take away from you. It's really not.
I actually think it benefits you. If you're happy, if you're giving someone else love or happiness or clapping for them, you're going to get that in return. Yeah.
100%. And just make sure that your circle's like that. Like, I have a group of friends that will talk like that as well. And like, especially one of my girlfriends will like, oh, if I've read something and I'll be like, another book everybody needs to read is Winning.
No, I haven't read that.
Right, so Tim Grover, Winning.
Okay.
And it's funny because, like, I read books and then I'll be like, yep, she needs that or he needs that. And I'll be send it to that exact and I'll just send them the link, read this, or your husband needs to read this because, like, I'll know what they're, you know. And then, you know, 2 weeks later they'll write back and be like, oh, my God. And I'll be like, yes, I knew it. I knew that that was right for you. And, yeah, Winning was another one that – yeah, it really resonated with me because I feel like, yeah, that I'm that type of person.
Mm.
Yeah, so and I think it's a very powerful book if you're in business and you're trying to show up for people and for yourself and whatever it is. I think that it's a really great book that
can
help you.
Huh.
I'm going
to. We have to bring this into the podcast.
You're going to have to go and Google all these kids' books. Yeah, don't disregard the kids' books, mate.
I reckon we'll pop them all down in the show notes.
Yeah.
Because sometimes a lot of times people message if we forget to put it in.
Yeah.
But, yeah, bloody hell. I actually feel inspired now.
No, I can just imagine people listening to this and your energy will be going through there. And they'll be like,
I'm mad. Who's this mad woman
that we're talking to? Take on the world, take on the day.
No, I think there's going to be a lot of people that benefit. Because I got a woman, she was a mum, that sent me a message last week and she was like, the podcast that we put up with Taylor.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, my God, that inspired me so much. I really wanted to start a new business, but I thought because I was a mum I couldn't do it. And I'm like, no. you can do anything. And she's like, no, thank you for inspiring me. So I think, I hope she listens to this.
I hope so too.
Yeah.
I just feel like everything just shows up at the right time. And I feel like I was talking about that with that life coach, being like, oh, I feel like I don't put enough energy into that. And she said, maybe it doesn't need that energy right now.
Yeah.
Maybe something else needs that energy. And if being a mum is what needs that energy, then be that. Yeah. And don't worry about it. You still got time. I think people freak out over this. You know, I did a talk and we talked about one of them was an older lady and she said, I feel my problem is that there's no time left because she was like 60.
Mm.
And I said, when I turn 50, I'm going to be like, that's my half time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Half time. All right, you can't get that knowledge that you're not that 20-year-old, yeah? At 60, what you know at 60 is like you can do so much at 60.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can just begin at 60. Why not?
Yeah.
It's just the mindset thing of being like, well, yes, I'm going to go. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take everything I've learned on the path that you've walked down and we all, you know, we'll take the road that we take and I'm going to put it into, and I think it's divine timing and it's don't ever feel like, oh, I'm just about to have a baby. I'll be like, well, you know, after a year goes very quickly, yeah, don't stop working on it. Work on it behind the scenes. I always say you forget about like actually having a plan, and I know that you can over plan as well. You can over, you know, just do, and we come up, especially me, I come up with a million ideas, but it's what you bring out to the world. But then be ready for it.
Yeah.
Be like, okay, no bullshit. What's this going to take? And we say that a lot too. So, okay, no bullshit. Like we often talk about moving overseas and things like that. Well, no bullshit. What's it going to take?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you don't just end up being overseas. Yeah. There's got to be a way to get there.
Yeah.
Right? Well, we'll do this, this, and this, and then we'll be there.
Yeah.
Or they have a path to get there.
Yeah.
So, just if you're in that stage of your life and you're just be like, okay, just be in that no bullshit, what's it going to take
sort
of
thing.
Map it out. Be real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, everything we plan never goes to plan and we have to, you know, pivot 5,000 million times and pivot within a pivot. But, yeah, I just feel like it's divine timing. You are where you're meant to be and it's never too late. It's never too late to start something and keep going. Yeah.
I agree with that.
What a great way to finish.
I know. 100%. Thank you so much for coming on. Bloody enjoyed that.
Thank you.